You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I swore when I ever got in this chair, I was not ever going to forget what it was like being the assistant. So I just literally have built it. How would I want to be treated?
The journey of a coach is often a story of evolution and growth. And on today's episode, Jeff Traylor, the head coach of the University of Texas San Antonio, provides a compelling narrative of his transformation in the game. Transitioning from a high school coach to a college coach, Coach Traylor reflects on the pivotal moments that shaped his coaching philosophy. From his early focus on offensive prowess to a more holistic approach encompassing defense, special teams, and player development, his journey exemplifies the continuous learning and adaptation required in this profession. Coach Traylor's emphasis on humility and self-reflection offers valuable insights for coaches at all levels. His willingness to take a step back and embrace new roles, such as serving as a passing game coordinator before assuming head coach responsibilities, underscores the importance of continuous learning and growth in one's own coaching career. His philosophy of empowering assistants and providing them with clear job descriptions and resources highlights the significance of effective leadership in fostering a cohesive and successful coaching staff. Finally, Coach Traylor digs into the concept of the triangle of toughness, a foundational principle in his coaching philosophy that encapsulates the core values and culture he instills within his team. There's a ton of takeaways in this episode, and we'll share ours after the interview. What you see on tape is a direct reflection of what you teach and how you teach. Video is important, but if you don't teach well, you're not going to like what you see on your video. First Down Playbook has been helping coaches teach better for 13 years. It allows you to present installs, playbooks, and practice cards in half the time with NFL quality. Coaching tools like video pairing, a player app, practice schedules, and wristband sheets have made First Down Playbook a program management system with everything in one place. If you're in a position of leadership with your football program, receive a free one-week look at First Down Playbook. Call them at 512-814-6158. Or visit them on their website or social media. Mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code COACH24 to receive a $100 discount off the normal $700 First Down Playbook team membership price. Links and the phone number are in the show notes. As coaches, we know that some of the biggest hurdles to our team's success can come from off the field. Your team needs support to tackle the endless list of expenses, uniforms, training equipment, travel, and more. But raising that money can feel like a full-time job. Thankfully, there's Vertical Raise. Vertical Raise is the premier online fundraising platform using innovative technology to create the easiest and most efficient system available. Raise more money in less time with a local fundraising coach who works with your team every step of the way to customize the ideal fundraiser. With options for online donations, digital discount cards, premium product sales, and even spirit shops, Vertical Raise has top-of-the-line solutions for every fundraising style. To find out more, visit verticalraise.com and we'll get you connected with an exclusive offer on your first fundraiser. On today's episode, we're going to talk about the journey of a coach and how we evolve and what things evolve from that. We're really excited to have the head coach of the University of Texas, San Antonio, Jeff Traylor, joining us to talk about his evolution in the game and things he's learned along the way and how we as coaches can continue to impact really the country. So, Coach, I'm really excited to be able to talk some ball with you here, talk coaching with you here, and I appreciate you taking the time.
Glad to be on here. Thanks for having me.
Coach, we talked a little bit before we got going, and you know, you have a unique journey. One, just being in Texas, the impact of football in Texas, but making that move from being the high school coach to a college coach, and obviously you guys are making an impact at UTSA right now, but we'd love to get some insight into that journey, the evolution, you know, going from being the guy who was the head coach and calling plays to now the guy who's, you know, building a program and stepping aside and letting other guys make those decisions. So, you know, going back to the beginning for you, thinking about it, I mean, you mentioned to me, you used to be a guy who was throwing the ball all over the place, right? Scoring a lot of points, but maybe in that, neglecting other parts of it. So how did that change come about for you, looking at where you were to where you are right now?
Yeah, well, when I got the job at Gilmer, I was very young and they hadn't had a lot of success, which is the reason you get those kind of jobs. And I just come from Jacksonville working for Danny Long. And we had those McCallum brothers for the stretch while I was there during that 6 years. So we threw the ball all over the place. And it's kind of what I knew. I'd been a basketball coach for 10 years. I was all about spreading the floor and having spacing, getting the ball to great athletes and letting them go be great. And in doing that, I probably hurt my defensive staff, our special teams, because we were winning a ton and we won a state championship. Honestly, with me not really focusing the way I should have on defense and special teams. And then, so that was in 2004. We beat Jasper 49-47. Then the very next year, we lose to a Canton team that did not have near the talent that we had. And they had some great players, but we got beat 61-58. Then the next year, we got beat to a Liberty ILO team that I thought we were better than. And now LaMichael James was on Liberty ILO's team, and G.J. Kenny was on Canton's team at the time before he came to play for me later. And that's when it really just hit me. Like, in Texas, you got to win 6 games. Back then, they were all outside. So there's going to be weather, wind. Sometimes you just don't throw and catch like you should. And if you're not playing great defense, you can't run the football, and you're not great on special teams, you're not going to win a state championship. So it was kind of like a way for me to survive, honestly. So we kind of, you know, we didn't call it the triangle of toughness back then, but that's what it was. So that was the evolution of that. To answer your question about becoming a high school coach, going to college, that's the part where I talk to my buddies about it all the time, Keith, is just, are you willing to go backwards before you go forwards? You're probably not going to get in the coordinator's chair right out of high school. You're probably going to have to be a position coach before you get some responsibility. For me, that was in the passing game coordinator, then the associate head coach titles, which kind of give you a chance to become a head coach. But I've used this quote 1,000 times, but you know, you don't make decisions really. You know, Charlie Strong and Chad Morris made the decisions. I made suggestions. And can you have, you know, some humility about yourself enough to go backwards so you can go forwards? And that was the hardest part for me. Nothing against Charlie or Chad. It's just I'd been the head coach for 15 years, and I was the one making those decisions. And that's really hard to do, but I knew I had to humble myself and do that if I was going to get back in this chair ever again.
And now that you're in the chair, your approach doesn't necessarily become that much different. I mean, you now have stepped aside. You have your coordinators, and you want them to be empowered to do their job. You told me, you know, you want to understand, you have that heartbeat of the assistant.
Yeah, I never want to lose that. I swore when I ever got in this chair, I was not ever going to forget what it was like being the assistant. So I just literally have built it. How would I want to be treated? And one, I try to give them a clear job description. Like, Jess Lepp knows exactly what kind of defense I want us to play. Justin Burke knows exactly the style of offense I want to play. And Zach Brown knows exactly the special teams look that I want. Do I call every play on any of those three? No. As a matter of fact, I call very few of those plays. Most of my play calling is done, you know, during the week, during off-season installs of what I want it to look like. So I think it's very important as a boss that you give your guys a job expectation, a job description. And your job is literally to remove every excuse Jess Lepp has from being a great defensive coordinator, every excuse Justin Burke has from being a great offensive coordinator, and Zach Brown has from being a special teams coordinator, to Esteban Dora being a great strength guy, from Shanda being a great academics, from Brooke being great and compliant. Like, that is literally my job. From Mike Giglio, from being great as a general manager. All those, truly, I don't want to forget about Dan in the EQ. I want to help him, or Alex in video. I want to help those guys be the very best they can be. So what does that mean? Be clear in what I want that to look like. And then remove every excuse they have from being successful, whether that's they need more cameras, they need more jerseys, they need more assistance, they need a learning specialist. What does that look like? And obviously, I can't get all that done overnight, but I can work towards that every day. So, and then second, money matters. I don't care what anybody says. And I've done my best, every pay raise I've ever gotten, whatever percentage that was, to try to get the same percentage for all my people. Have I been successful in that in every single person? No, but have we been close? Yes. Have I done more for some than others? Yes, we have, but that's just because of the nature of the business. You got HR to deal with. There's a lot of things you just can't control. But I have found when your people know that you're fighting for them and you're trying to get them more and you're just transparent, they're very grateful. And then the third piece, that's their time. I really do my best to respect people's time. I don't want anybody guarding desks. If they're not with their families, if they're not watching their kid play ball, I'm going to be really upset. Now, they got a job to do, but man, you can work from the house. We've got computers. We've got video. We've got phones. There's a lot of things we can do from home or while you're on the road even. If your wife's driving to go see your kid play, you know, be watching practice, get inside run, grade it. Just make sure I know it's graded. So job descriptions, money, and time, and just trying to have the heartbeat of an assistant is something I've done my very best. But like I told you earlier, I got to practice 15 years at Gilmer. There is an art to being a head coach. Like there's an art to being an offensive coordinator. There's an art to being a special teams coordinator, a strength guy. There's an art to it. And I kind of got to practice 15 years. And so when you get the job at UTSA, it's not like I had never done this before. It's slightly different. But this is now 19 years of being a head coach.
Want to focus a little bit on that idea of the job description, because I really feel I've been on the business side of things now, but have been a coach and an educator before. And when I look at it, when you can be very specific about that job description, here's what you're doing. Here's the expectations. And also, as you mentioned before, here's the resources you have to get it done. You set somebody up for success. And I've seen and been a part in a lot of places where maybe those details were lacking. So how, when you think about it from the big picture, okay, these are the things we need done. How are you going about writing those job descriptions up so that, as I said, you're setting up your assistants for success?
I have what's called like an always list. When the game's over, I always want to see this. Like, there is a checklist that I go over of how many times we're going to run the fly sweep, how many times we're going to throw the ball vertically, how many RPOs, how many screens, how many specials, how many times we want to run the football, how many times there's going to be a reverse. We just have some what we call always, like with Coach Lepp, it's going to be how many pressures from the field, how many internal, how many boundary. How much we're in, you know, the coverages, like, and then because if you don't, it's not going to look the way I want it to look. Special teams, the same always list. Like when the game's over, we're going to sit down. And again, like I'm saying, I'm not going to make them go in the order of the calls, but they know, like, offensively, the football better land in the end zone. I don't care if we catch it or not. We better throw the thing down there about 6 to 8 times a game, or I'm going to be upset about it. Yeah, I want them all caught, and I want them all to be touchdowns, but every coordinator from Will Stein at Oregon to Barry Lunny Jr. at Illinois to Justin Burke at UTSA to Alan Metzel in Gilmer, Texas right now, they're going to know, like, literally, you can't score if you don't try. Throw the freaking thing in the end zone. And when it comes to crucial time in the game, in their head, they're going to be literally not me even saying it. They're going to all go, don't think play, think player. Get the ball to our best player right now. And I know you're probably thinking, well, duh, but you'd be shocked at how coordinators don't know what the head coach wants because they don't articulate and hold them to that. So my guys all know what I want, which is why it works, because I'm not even mad at them. As long as we practice it and it's sound, let it rip, Tater Chip. Let's freaking go.
I appreciate that, the always. I think that's a great way of looking at it. How much time then, you know, following, because all of this, there's stuff that happens yearly in the program. There's obviously, as you get into the season, there's things you need weekly. That evaluation, that feedback, you know, do you have those checklists you're going down? What's your process for making sure that you guys are doing everything you need to do to be moving forward?
I have an analyst for each one of those that literally brings them in to me each Sunday. And I go over them privately, and then I bring in the coordinators, and then we go over them together. And because sometimes, you know, there's a reason why, yeah, I want the fly sweep ran 2 to 4 times per game, or I want to reverse ran once a game. I want to know why it didn't get called. Like, why not? If they've got a good reason, then I'm going to be okay with it. But if it's now 6 weeks in a row and we still haven't called a reverse, you know, pretty much I know my OC doesn't really want to run reverse. So now we got a decision to make. Does he want to learn how to run reverses, or am I going to get a new OC? It's not that complicated, right? And somehow they all figure out ways to run reverse and we end up getting it called. Amazing how that works.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Taking a step back, because I think I always like to share, okay, how would you approach it right now, where you are, how you've developed these things? You mentioned when you were at Gilmer, you know, the expectation went to winning it all the time. You know, even if you maintain that play caller, I think all these things you're doing right now certainly have application and can help coaches at the high school level. I think the job description, I think the evaluation, how would you go about that? What would be the best way to do that if you're back at the high school level, making sure that, again, those details are put into your program?
Well, you got to figure out what you believe first and foremost. And that, unfortunately, that takes a lot of trial and error. So you need some experience. That's another one of my favorite quotes. I mean, be careful about that experience, because some guys have 25 years experience because they've actually learned something for 25 years and they're always evolving. They're always growing. And there's some guys that have had the same experience once, you know, 25 times. So they really got 1 year experience. They don't have 25 years experience. Like, to your point, it's why when you call and ask me to do a podcast with you, it's not that I really feel like I'm worth listening to, but I do know when I was young, I couldn't get enough of this. Like, I was on every podcast. I was on everything I could, just trying to get as much as I can. So there's real value in just growing and evolving. So before you know what your philosophy is, I think you got to get out there and just try some stuff and figure out some stuff and learn along the way and get roughed up a little bit. That triangle of toughness, like I told you, it was, I spoke to my guys today about a Tupac lyric about the rose that grew through the crack in the concrete. And you got to have some adversity. I mean, you got to have some, just get roughed up in coaching. And I tell my guys all the time, you got to be able to self-reflect, Keith, and you got to be able to look at yourself, and you got to be able to be honest. And then you got to be able to pull your scouts back, put a smile back on your face, and never lose your swag. I mean, because you can't lose your belief in yourself. And so a lot of these beliefs have come to me from very tough losses. And I just made my mind up, Keith, when I drive home, and that's the only head coach part I ever really pulled when I was at Old Gilmer, Texas, back in the day. And obviously when you're in college, you're flying back on the plane with your guys. But in high school, I didn't ride home on the Greyhound. I drove my black Chevrolet Silverado with my coordinators, and we would drive back, and we would really go over my always list in my truck on the way home. And I'd be like, we said we were going to run these four specials. Back then, my OC was Matt Turner. I'm like, Matt, did we run our four specials? We said we were going to run power six times with an RPO on it. Did we do this? We said we were going to run whatever that, you know, our RPO game is going to be eight this game. Did we do this? Did we move the pocket? Did we sprint out? Did we neck it? Did we waggle? I just have made my mind up, Keith, the way I want to look if I go down. Now, I know you're probably thinking, well, that's a sick way to look at it. But that's really when you do the most self-reflecting is when you go down. When you win, you're just not as hard on yourself. And you've got to learn to be harder on yourself when you win. I've just kind of made my decision, Keith, of how I want to look. Like penalties. Do I really care about penalties? Only pre-snap and post-snap. I really don't care about too many penalties in the play. I don't want my kids to not be aggressive. I want them to be very physical and play. So I'm not going to beat my kids up very much about penalties in the play of the game. But pre-snap and post-snap, we're just not going to tolerate it. So we already know this is how coach is about penalties. This is how he wants to look in special teams, on defense and offense. And unfortunately, through a lot of trial and error, and mainly error, that's how I came up with those always lists.
Coach, the triangle of toughness you've been talking about, and we've shared your segment on the podcast before, clinic segment from Lawrence, First and Goal, where you've talked about it. So I know I have some listeners who are familiar with it, but if you would give us just the overview of the triangle of toughness, and then I just got a few questions on that for you.
Well, the way it started was I was a huge basketball guy, and I love John Wooden. Philosophically, I would say most of our philosophies come from John Wooden. You know, like his definition of success, he doesn't ever talk about winning and losing. It's the peace of mind and knowing that I did my absolute very best. And again, that's where those always lists come from. I know what I want to look like. Like defensively, the odd is what drives me nuts when I'm trying to scheme. So I want to make sure I'm in an odd defense. Well, I hate it when they're moving around all the time. I hate it when they line up in a four and they become a five or they become a three. I'm more comfortable when they sit there and just line up. Now, unless their guys are just better than us and whip our tails, that's the worst feeling when they're in the base defense and they're still kicking your tail. So that's the way we're going to look when we start with Coach Lepp on defense. So the triangle of toughness for us, it's just pretty simple. I couldn't do the pyramid like John Wooden. That's too complicated for my dumb butt. But a triangle I can figure out, right? So we have three pieces. That's what a triangle is. I'm going to play my best players on defense. Now, in college, they're already recruited that way. But when you're in high school, you have the choice of where you're going to put them. I'm going to commit to running the football. My nature is to throw it. And the RPO game has kind of made it, giving me a little built-in excuse. Where even now, we're trying to have some tags where we're going to make sure some call it and haul it, where we're going to check some runs to make sure we get the ball ran, because I'm afraid I've become a little too RPO driven. And then the third piece of that is I'm going to play this is a college deal, is play my best players on special teams. They've all got to be on two of the four if they're really good football players. So that's where it starts. Then our culture pillars are in that, and we came up with this cute little graphic, you know, that makes it look really cool. I wish I could show it to you right now, but I don't have it with me right this moment. And that's just, and everybody's got their five culture pillars or their words, but you know, ours is the pinky fingers, be a man of integrity, pinky promise. the ring fingers, to be a man of passion. You know, I've been married to Care Bear for 32 years now. And that, you know, sometimes, believe it or not, 32 years, I'm sure she's not too fired up to see me at times. So I better bring some passion when I come in that door. Our middle finger will be mentally and physically tough. And we just point to those two things and we teach off that. Our index finger, we're going to point at our teammates. We're going to always be selfless. Our thumb, we're going to always point at ourselves and give perfect effort. Like this week, it's on pound the fist. So we're going to wad all five up, pound the fist. So we teach off of that. Trust the process, which is control the controllables, and then win the day, which is our overall deal. So all those are in there. And then we vote our single-digit football players. And whoever best represents those culture pillars gets to wear the two, the one, and the zero. The most votes go to the zero. But the rest of our single digits, 3 through 9, are also given out to the players that receive the most votes. Our seniors get 4 points, or if you've been on our campus 4 years, you get 4 points, 3 points for 3 years, 2 points for 2 years, 1 point for 1 year being on campus. And the coaches get 5 points for their votes. We tally them all up. So when you look at us and you watch our single digit guys, those should be the best representatives of our triangle of toughness. Now, that's a 2-minute answer to a really deep question that we really pride ourselves on at UTSA.
Yeah, Coach has given several clinic talks on it. They're excellent. I'll link that one in our show notes, and you need to check those out. Now, with that, Coach, the triangle toughest. Obviously, you've developed this over time. John Wooden, I love John Wooden. A lot of my coaching philosophy came from studying him as well. I used to hear, you know, in Ohio high school clinics all the time, Jim Tressel talking about what gets measured gets managed, right? So you guys just don't throw this together and have it look cool. I mean, this is what drives the program. How do you go about managing this? I know you mentioned on, you know, some of those always on O&D and your analysts. What's that look like for you in both measuring and managing how these are, you know, being executed within your program?
I think the way we just do it, like, for example, I just told you, like, this week is pound the fist, right? Yeah. So I'm going to walk in the team meeting, Keith, and I'm going to literally say pound the fist. And it's called a callback. All 120 of my players will go call back to me, and they'll say win the day. That's our overall number one culture pillar, if you were to say. But so when I go in there and say pound the fist, they're going to scream back win the day. I'm going to immediately give a 5-minute to 10-minute presentation on pound the fist. Like today, it was like I told you, it was on Tupac and the rose that grew from the crack in the grave, because we're doing mad drills and we're supposed to be done with them. We're supposed to have started some football this week, but I put them in the mat drills another day, and I just talked to them about adversity. And I talked to them about that rose and Tupac and the crack in the concrete. So then when we went to, you know, defensive, when they split up, the coordinators speak on pound the fist. Well, then when we break into position groups, position coaches speak on pound the fist. The strength staff, before they get to lifting, they speak on pound the fist. So it's literally going to be that every day this week. And then the next week, it goes to trust the process. So I walk in the team meeting. I'll say trust the process. They'll scream back win the day. I'll give a 5 to 10 minute presentation on trusting the process, which is controlling the controllables. Coordinators will then teach. Position coaches teach. Strength staff teaches. The players also teach. Like when we start getting some of our leadership council pick, those guys will start teaching the culture pillars. So I say it all the time. In a lot of schools, it's words on a wall. Here, we hope you can feel them in our hearts. Like we hope y'all can like see us live out our culture pillars, because that's what branding really is when who you say you are, which is your identity, when those align. That's what a real branding is who you say you are and what you are really align. We call your image, you know, our image is the 210 triangle of toughness. But what is our identity? Are we really that? Well, that's what branding really is when your image, who you say you are, and your identity, what you really are, when those align, that's, we can talk about being the triangle of toughness, and we're a bunch of assault butts out there, and we can't run the ball. We can't tackle. We're not very physical. We're not good on defense. We're a bunch of hypocrites. We're a bunch of fake. We're no We're no 2-1-0 triangle of toughness.
Yeah, I appreciate you making the connection between those, the branding, the identity, and living it in your hearts. I couldn't agree more. Coach, you're extremely passionate about the game. I mean, that's certainly come through in this interview. I know our game has its challenges, and they always have. They vary from time to time, and there's always all kinds of things that people like to attack our game and whatnot. And I know, there's a lot of chaos in the current environment with all the new things that have come about pretty quickly and have become pretty dynamic. But there's more to this. There is still all those things maybe that have become cliche about the bigger picture about our game and why it's important that coaches continue to develop themselves, grow, and really hang on. We'll figure this out. Like that's for sure. Football coaches always figure it out. They always make it better. You know, there's a time, you know, I look back when I started at USA Football, people were attacking the game because of tackling. Well, guess what? We made it safer, not with like better equipment or anything like that. Those things came along. We just found a way to make our technique better. And that went away. Football's not even the sport that has the most concussions anymore. So the opportunity that we have as coaches, I know that's something you're passionate about. And like I said, that's come through in this interview, your passion for the game. What message do you have for coaches in the impact they make and why this remains important to us?
Well, you use the word, you know, I'll distill it. I mean, it's opportunity or is it adversity? Which one is it? It's still the same game. It'll never change in Texas because the way our high school coaches coached us and their high school coaches coached them, there's so many older men in our state that are now in positions of power. There's so many women that are married to men that were coached by great football coaches that are great men because they're Texas high school football coaches. It matters in our state. Like it matters because the game, when used correctly, the football is such a great metaphor for life that you can get boys to men. And my real record at Gilmer, Texas, was, you know, a lot of wins and not very many losses. And at UTSA, it's similar. But my real record is not that. I've been a head coach for 19 years now, which means I've had the opportunity to influence approximately 30 seniors per class, which means I've had the opportunity to influence about 600 boys to men. And my real record is going to be how many men out of those boys. So out of 600 opportunities, if 600 of them are taking care of their families, taking care of their church, taking care of their government, taking care of their universities, they're men. If they're still taking from their church, taking from their university, taking from their government, taking from their families, they're boys. They're not men. I failed as a coach. So I just don't think we can lose sight of right now. I know NIL. Well, it reminds me when I was a Texas high school football coach and we started no pass, no play. And we all thought the game was going to end. Like, there's no way our kids are going to be able to pass every class. This is insane. There's no one going to play football or basketball anymore. Well, guess what? The kids started passing their classes. Well, now I'm in college ball and it's NIL. Well, I better get out there and raise some money. I mean, I better get out there and hustle. If I don't get some NIL money for my kids, they're going to all leave me. And I did lose one year before last. Great player. And I lost two more this year. Great players. Yeah, it stinks. But guess what? I picked up 8 great players last year in the transfer portal, and I picked up 7 this year. Well, common sense, I picked up 15 great players, and I lost 3. So to me, the Roadrunners got 12 great players better. Now, are we going to sit around and focus on the 3? Yeah, I miss those kids. Does it stink? Yeah, it stinks. It hurt. But I'm enjoying these other 15 I picked up as well. So it's just how you want to look at it. I love coaching ball. Heck, I can't do anything else, Keith. I better figure this thing out. Because I've got 3 children I got to take care of and a wife.
Well, I think you're well along the way of figuring it out, Coach. You certainly provide a great example, not only for the coaches in the great state of Texas, but I think around the country, people have come to see what you guys are doing and recognize that there's something special going on at UTSA. I really appreciate what you do for the game. I appreciate you taking the time to join us here on the podcast and share some insight into how we can become better coaches. And certainly best of luck to you and the Roadrunners here in 2024.
Well, I hope I didn't come across as some old pompous coach that knows it all. I tell my guys all the time, I'm an imperfect person coaching imperfect people. There's going to be imperfection. I do love the game. I love coaches. I love players. And I hope my passion never comes across as anything more than someone that truly loves the game and wants to serve the game. So thank you for what you do, Keith. God bless and birds up.
Here are our Winning Edge takeaways and ideas for implementation. One, focus on evolution and humility. Coach Trail emphasized the importance of evolving as a coach and being willing to humble oneself in order to progress. You can implement this by continuously seeking to learn, adapt, and grow in your coaching methods and leadership style. Two, clear communication and expectations. Providing clear job descriptions, expectations, and resources for assistant coaches is crucial for the success of a program. By ensuring that everyone understands their roles and responsibilities, you can empower your staff to perform their best and contribute effectively to the team. As a position coach, taking the same approach with each of your players and their responsibilities within your offense, defense, or special teams is another way of setting your people up for success and getting practice at this important skill. Three, place consistent emphasis on core values. Developing and reinforcing core values such as integrity, passion, toughness, selflessness, and effort can help build a strong team culture and identity. You can regularly integrate these values into team meetings, discussions, and practices to instill a sense of purpose and unity among your players and staff. Don't just put your words on a wall. Let Coach Trailer figure out how to ingrain those in everything you do. Be sure to follow all we're doing at coachandcoordinator.com and remember to check out Coach Trailer's presentation on the Triangle of Toughness from Lawrence First and Goal Clinic. The link is in the show notes. Follow us on X at Coach K. Grabowski.